Hello, hello, hello. How is everybody doing? Welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls live from Lake Wylie, South Carolina. How is everybody doing?
Hello, Larry.
What's happening? Who we
got
on
the line
today? Who we got on today?
Well, this is Roger Sloan from Decatur, Illinois.
Awesome, awesome. Good to hear your voice. Who else we got?
Larry, St. Louis.
Hey, good. Well, if you're just now joining us, if it's your first time, congratulations. Welcome aboard. Really excited to have you. And this is where we do a biweekly Q&A call where I answer all your questions, whatever questions you may have. And so we'll stay on here absolutely as long as you need to. So who has a question and wants to jump in? Don't everybody
I'll
go at once now.
I'll start, Larry.
All right, good.
I found this house that's a real nice house. Trulia says it's worth $282,000. Zillow says it's worth $276,000. Realtor.com says it's worth $250,000. And the man said he'd sell it to me for $225,000 cash.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't have cash to give him. So what other strategies do you think I should use to maybe take this over and do a lease auction with somebody and cash out later on?
Okay, so what is your goal? What is your model that you want to do with this property? In other words, are you going to buy it and fix it and flip it? Are you going to buy it and lease option it to somebody like you just mentioned? Are you going to wholesale it? Or what is your model that you want to do?
Well, the man says it's already in pretty good shape, and he said the only reason he wants to sell it is because, and he owns it free and clear. Him and his wife spend 6 months out of the year in Arizona and 6 months here, and they're thinking about just moving to Arizona and being done with it.
Right. Okay, that's good to know.
That's good
information.
So I'm thinking about just trying to get it from him for $225 with a lease option, and then hopefully you do a lease option and sell it to somebody else for $250,000.
So what you're saying is you want him to lease option it to you, and then you can go out and find somebody to lease option it, and you do a wholesale of a lease option or a sandwich lease option, correct?
Yes, sir.
Good, good, good. All right, first of all, you said the property doesn't need any work to move into. It's move-in ready.
Yes.
Good. Now, also, you threw out a few values there from Trulia, Zillow, and somewhere else. I can't remember. But
Realtor.com.
I'm sorry?
Realtor.com.
Oh, okay. Now, are these like the Zestimate, or are these from sold comps?
I guess his estimates, the sold comps goes all over the place.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they go from anywhere from 150,000 to 300,000.
150 to 300.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound too good. We've got to narrow it down based on other similar houses that are close by. What would you think the property is really worth?
Well, here again, these are similar houses, and some
uh-huh.
of them are, you know, less than a mile away, and some of them are maybe 3 miles away, but they're...
So what did, you know, if you pull those comps that are in the 150, 200 range and show those comps to him, what did he say?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
That's okay. My question was, what did he say, if he's asking $225,000, what did he say when you showed him the comps that are in the 150 range? What did he say about that?
I haven't showed them to him yet.
How did he come up with his number of 225?
He said that he had the, first of all, the house isn't even on the market. I found
right.
it from a list of vacant houses, and it wasn't even on the market. He said last time it was on the market, he was asking, I think he said 237.
Right.
So he would say, well, I'll just take 225 for it and be cash and be gone. So.
Right, right. All right, all right. Well, what you have to do is, if you really want the price, right, if you want to get the price down so you could wholesale this house, which I'm assuming you're just looking for some quick cash, right, to put $10,000 or $20,000 in your pocket, correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we either have to get a good price, a low enough price you can wholesale it. So what you need to do is find out what a real good ARV is after repaired value, and then times 0.7 minus repairs. Every house needs a little bit of repairs to get it in good shape, right? Even if it's $5,000 or $10,000. So ARV times 0.7 minus repairs minus what you want to make. Let's say we split the difference and say minus $15,000 wholesale fee. Then boom, that's your cash number, right? Now. So what I would do is I would prepare, you know, a presentation, for lack of a better word, where you have a couple of comps on the low end, right? A couple of comps on the low end, because this sounds like an ideal situation to give this guy multiple offers, right? And here's the way I would do that. Have you heard of doing that before, by the way?
I think I heard it from a guy named Larry Goins.
Okay. All right, so here's what I would do. Show him the comps of the sold, even if you don't do anything but print out the page and highlight it where it shows it was a similar house, similar square footage, looks similar, and then this sold for $150 or $175 or $200, whatever, right? So give him a cash offer of whatever you think you can based on running the numbers, and then give him a second offer. So here's another offer where you're going to finance it for me, right? You're going to finance it for me, and maybe that offer is at 225 with maybe five down, okay? And then give him another offer where you do a lease option, maybe even at 235 or 240 or maybe even 250, depending on, you said the comps are 150 to 300, maybe even doing one at at 250 with maybe $1,000, either a lease option or seller finance at 250 with $1,000 down. And then he's got three options to pick from. It's not yes or no, it's which one do you want. Right? So you're basically giving him three different options. So if he takes the low option of cash, you can wholesale that deal to a fix and flipper right away. If he takes the middle offer, which is, let's say, 225 with five down, you go find somebody else to give you, you know, to give you 240 with 20 down. Right? So 240 with 20 down, and then you're going to make 15, and then they're going to take your place. Or if they do the 250 with 1,000 down, you find somebody that'll do 20 down, right, at the 250 or 270 or whatever with the 20 down, and then you make 19. Does all that make sense?
Yes.
I wouldn't prepare, I don't think you need to prepare three written offers. What you need to do is just write it out in simple, easy-to-understand terms, like just the three examples on one page. You know, the purchase price, cash, purchase price, $150, cash. Offer number two, $225, $5,000 down, you'll finance $220, or the third one is $240 or $250, whatever. You're going to have to come up with your own numbers, but it's going to be the highest offer, right? And you can also, let's see. If he's retired, you know, and going back and forth, he might would rather have cash flow, right, rather than all cash. In fact, you can ask him, one of the good questions to ask is, what are you going to do with all this money when you sell this house? If he says, I'm going to invest it or put it into bonds or, you know, put it in the bank, you know,
I think he said he wanted to put it in his next house.
In his next house.
In Arizona.
All right, well, then maybe he'll take the all-cash offer. But if not, he can have the cash flow to make the payments on the next house, and he'll have deductible interest, right? Since he'll have a mortgage on the new house. So I would try those three strategies, the three offer strategy like that, to see if you can, you know, instead of him saying yes or no, it's pick one. Which one do you want? Right?
Okay.
So try that and let me know how it goes.
Can I throw out a fourth idea?
Sure.
I was thinking of maybe trying to find an investor who would be willing to put $100,000 or $110,000 down and have him take back a second.
Have the seller take back a second?
Yes.
So how are you going to cash out and get paid? Because that's the most important part of this whole deal.
Well, I was thinking of actually doing it at 110 and putting 10 of it in there to pay for closing costs and the balance in my pocket, for starters. And then he would have he would take back a second. And then when the property, and I'd ask for a non-refundable down payment from the lease option person that's going to be buying it.
So you're gonna borrow private money on the deal and then go lease option the property.
Right.
Okay, so give me the numbers right quick. What are you going to pay for it? And you're going to borrow 110, what are you going to pay for it? You're going to borrow 110, and then the seller's going to finance the balance, and
right.
Then you're going to go lease option it.
Right.
So how do you have any private money lined up?
No.
Okay. So if you don't
but
have
I'm
any
thinking...
private money lined up right now, now you've got to negotiate with your seller. Let's say your seller says, yeah, okay, I'll take that. Now you got to go find $110,000 in private money.
Right.
So that means you gotta basically sell the seller, then you gotta sell your private money lender after you find them, then you gotta start marketing the property and sell the property or lease option it.
Right.
I think there's an easier way to do it than that. unless you're okay with, you know, getting it under contract and then having to go out and raise private money under pressure. I would focus on, if you're wanting to use private money, you know, on some of your deals, I would definitely make that part of your daily routine. Make two or three phone calls a day for private money, right? Does that make sense?
Well, it does, except for how do I make phone calls, two or three phone calls a day for private money?
How do you make two or three phone calls a day? Well, you're going to be there's a lot of different ways to find private money, right? Everybody you talk to is a potential. You don't ask them for private money, though. What you do is ask them, who do they know? Every time you meet somebody, see somebody, your local RIA group, in the forums, on Bigger Pockets, on, you know, any place is, you know, hey, I get some deals from time to time, and I can pay, you know, I can pay 8 or 10% return. Do you know anybody that is tired of the stock market, the volatility of the stock market, and like would like to earn some steady passive returns secured by real estate at a low loan to value? And if you're talking to the right person, they're going to say, well, what about me? That way you're not asking them for private money, but you're asking them who they know, right? So,
okay.
You know, every I Buy House sign you see, every I Buy House ad you see, Craigslist ads, when you go to your local REIT group, you find out who's using private money, and then you look the name of their company up at the courthouse, register of deeds, and then once you do that, you can look up and see their company, and whoever the lender is on their deals, that's your private money lender right there. Does that make sense? Did you understand what I just said?
Yes, but how do I call up a person I don't know that I think's lending money to other people and just say, hey, who do you know that I could contact to get a loan from?
Right. Well, if you're contacting people that you know are lending to other people, then you don't have to use that technique, right? If you know they're already lending to other people, all you got to do is call them up and say, hey, I noticed you were loaning money to XYZ investors. Occasionally I have an opportunity for other private investors to get involved in our deals and earn a decent return on their money. Do you have any money you don't have deployed that you would like to get a good return on? Right.
That that's not against the government regulations to do that.
Now, what you're doing is you're dealing with investors, right, that are already in the business, right? They're already doing it now, so you're just using public records to find them. You could start out with a postcard if you wanted to. Send them a postcard that says, hey, I noticed you were a private money lender on a real estate transaction and wanted to see if you have any money that you wanted to get deployed or if you wanted to invest in any other real estate properties, right?
Okay.
Yeah, but don't go advertising on Craigslist or whatever that you're looking for money. Don't go doing that. That could be a violation. That could be a violation. But you're going to reach out one-on-one, one at a time, right?
Okay.
I'd like to see you just be able to wholesale it initially to start out with, right?
And of the three offers that you mentioned, which one of them was the wholesale?
The first one, the low cash offer.
Okay.
The low-price cash offer, you know, where you could wholesale it to like a fix and flip investor, and the second offer would be where you're going to find somebody that wants to live in it that has 20 grand to put down. And the third one, the same thing, somebody wants to live in it that has 20 grand to put down to do a lease option or seller financing, right?
Okay. If I'm working with somebody now, your preferred method would it be a lease option, a property to somebody first to make sure that they're able to make payments, so I don't have to foreclose on them?
Absolutely, absolutely. If the house is what's called fit and safe, right? Fit and safe, I would definitely do a lease option before doing a land contract or a mortgage, so that way you know if they're going to be making the payments on time.
Okay.
Good. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you, Larry.
You're very welcome. Good luck, and please follow up with me and let me know how it goes, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy, that sounds good. And congratulations on this deal. How did you find this deal, by the way?
From a list of vacant houses.
Okay. How did you get that list, and did you direct mail them?
No, I haven't. I've called them up. I just call up people on the vacant house list and say, is your house still for sale? And they either tell me yes or no.
Oh, okay. How did you get this list?
I found it on the internet.
Good. That's good. All right, cool. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, this is Forrest. I have a question with the fellow that was just talking. How did he find the phone number on the internet and call the guy up on the vacant list? Because mine only have the addresses and the names.
It just happened to have the phone number with it.
I see you bought a list from somebody that was selling a specific list for a specific area or something.
Yes.
Do you have the name of that website? Website?
Well, my wife was the one that found it on the internet. I'd have to go find her and ask her.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if you find out, yeah, let us know. That would be great. That's good. That's good. Anybody else have a question?
Yeah, it's Forrest again. I got a question.
Sure. Go ahead, Forrest.
So I see some of you know, the wholesalers in my area, they talk about how they do all the title work and, you know, before they wholesale it or advertise it for a wholesale. In your experience, have you found that gives you kind of like a higher sale value when you can sell a vetted wholesale deal, or do you feel that it's not really worth the extra time and money to invest the title work in yourself through your own fund?
Personally, I have never ordered title searches in advance of scheduling a closing.
You mean of advertising a wholesale deal? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Now, you can go down, you could look up online. Actually, most courthouses are online now. You could do a preliminary title search. You could even Google how to do a title search and learn.
It's called a quiet title search, what'd you say?
No, I just said you could Google how to do a title search, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's you know, a lot of posts out there and even, you know, some YouTube videos that'll show you how to do a title search. And it's very simple. You know, you're not going to be doing one like a title company or an attorney would do, right?
Right.
But you could at least do a preliminary and know if there's a mortgage, if there's back taxes, if there's any liens or any judgments on the property. And that's all you're really looking to do. And you could spend probably about 15 minutes doing one yourself, and that way you don't have to pay an abstractor to do it for you.
Okay. All right.
But in a pinch, here's what you would do. In a pinch, if you really wanted to have somebody else do one, all you got to do is call up the courthouse and ask for the records room. That's where they keep all the mortgages, deed of trust. That's where all the abstractors. See, attorneys and title companies hire what's called abstractors or title searchers to go to the records room and research, and that's how they spend their day.
Right.
They're there all day long doing title searches for upcoming closings for various attorneys and title companies. So all you got to do is call up the records room and you know, ask for the records room, and there's a phone in there, right? And then whoever answers the phone, just say, hey, I need a quick title search on something. How much would you charge me to see if this title is free and clear? Or see, you know, what liens, judgments, code violations, back taxes. That's all you got to do. And I've done that many times in the past, and it's a great way just to get a quick title search instead of having to call an attorney. The attorney call the records room or call their abstractor and say, while you're there, look this up. You just call them direct. right? And
yeah, I think they charge like a dollar a page or something, right? Or something like that. If you want it,
yeah, they're not going to charge a whole lot.
Yeah.
That's the cheapest way to get one. Find a good abstractor. First thing you do is say, hey, I'm looking for an abstractor that can do some preliminary title work for me on some closings. And I want somebody that I can work with on a regular basis. By the way, I have one right now. How much would you charge me to do these?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, thanks. I've had two deals fail because of, you know, judgments over what I was going to pay for the property. And it's just recently. So I want to try to protect myself and the people that I, you know, assign these deals to. You know, you get a bad taste in your mouth after one or two of those. So, you know,
right.
Just want to try to prevent that in an economical fashion. So I have pulled, you know, records before. Sometimes you think it's a little more difficult than it really is. You know, you overcomplicate
right.
it. So,
right. We've got one right now that has an old mortgage that was paid off. It's like an old BB&T loan that was paid off by another lender, and we know it's been paid off, but we can't get we can't find where the mortgage was ever released. And so we're having to deal with that right now. So I feel your pain.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
How's the Facebook ads going?
Facebook ads are my best lead source right now, as a matter of fact. I wish I could just, you know, flood. I wish my budget was a little bit higher where I could flood it. But I'm in my third week, and I've got one contract off of Facebook leads, and I've already assigned it. And so that one's with the attorney going to closing. He's doing the title work right now.
Right.
And so that's a $6,000 check off of right now. I think I've got about $900 in Facebook advertising. So I think it's well worth it. It's actually producing better than Google ads. So
that's sweet. That's sweet.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So Facebook ads, man, they're awesome. They're powerful because that's where everybody's looking. So and it just shows up, right? You know, and how it works so well is it wasn't necessarily my list. It was the lookalike that, you know, mirrored my list or matched qualities to my list were the ones that,
yeah.
you know, that you get. So that it's just powerful tool. It's really a powerful tool.
So what you're saying is it wasn't as much the custom audience from your direct mail list, but the lookalike
correct.
Audience.
That's correct.
Are you doing
correct.
The custom audience also, your direct mail list?
I am. So I have different – so, you know, I got to learn, right? So, you know, I learned how to do this, you know, from, you know, Carrot's course, and it takes a lot of time. I mean, it took me 3 full days of staring and drooling in front of a computer because it's the last thing I want to do on a Saturday, right? But I did it, and, you know, I built these, you know, audiences, but I had these mail lists, and I imported the mail list, and then you run a separate campaign on lookalikes. And then the other thing you do is through your website, you turn on your pixels so that Facebook can track anybody that goes to your website, and you get all their information, and you keep nailing them because, you know, you got to touch people multiple times. And so as soon as they go to your website, every time they go to look at their buddy's Facebook page, you pop up, and then you become their buddy. So the retargeting, I get leads on retargeting. I get leads on lookalikes more so than I get on my direct custom audience that I imported
right.
list.
That's really good. That's good to know. That's really good to
yes.
know.
Yes. It's good stuff. It's very powerful. If you're not in the Richmond and Virginia Beach area, I highly suggest you do it.
That's funny.
Did you say you use Lookalike? Is that like Facebook or what?
No, it's a way that you can find an audience to run your ads that you buy houses. It's a tool that Facebook gives you to use to find people to put your ads in front of. Does that explain it a little better?
Yes, thank you.
So let's say, for example, you wanted to advertise to people like me, okay? And you had my information. And so you would tell Facebook that you have, you know, this guy's information. He's super cool. He's super good looking. He lives in Richmond, Virginia. And, you know, I want to target him with advertising and all the super cool, super good looking guys just like him in Richmond, Virginia. So you would tell Facebook that. And then Facebook would then go out and hunt all the super cool, super good looking people in Richmond that want to sell you their house for dirt cheap prices so you can make a lot of money on it.
Is that they charge per click?
No, per impression. It's not PPC. It's totally different. It's every time your ad scrolls their screen, you get charged. But it's pennies. It's nothing.
Right, right. It's very cheap. It's very cheap.
And then when they do click or they do send you a lead or they opt in on your page or whatever it is, Facebook will show you in the metrics that it costs you $20 for this one person to click on your stuff. It averages it out. So, like, if you have 5 clicks and it costs you $100, they would tell you it costs you $20 a click. But it's, you pay for impressions.
So, Forrest, you've been doing this about 3 weeks now, and you've spent about 300 a week or 900 total. How many leads have you received? I know you've already done one deal that is in escrow. It's getting ready to close, and you're going to make $1,000.
Yes.
Right? It was actually, if I'm not mistaken, you told me you got that lead from your very first week when you'd spent only $300. But how many leads have you received, and how many other potential deals do you have so far?
So I'm in follow-up on 3 other leads with people that I've engaged, you know, in conversation. But, like, leads that, you know, are just their initial contact, I'm probably at about 12 to 15. And I don't know the real answer because, one, I haven't checked it since Friday, and, two, in July it rolled over to a new books, so it, like, started everything back at zero. So I haven't looked at my all-time history yet last week. So.
Okay. All right.
But I would say it's between 10 to 20 leads, 4 good ones, and 1 contract. In 3 weeks.
Right. Are those going into Podio, or are you just working them right out of Own Carrot?
I run everything through Podio. I have started working a little bit more actively in my back office, the Carrot, because I'm in there so much, you know, doing... Carrot has, you know, awesome tracking. And so, and now that I'm retargeting everything, I'm in my back office a lot looking at where my lead sources are coming from. So I'm in there quite a bit, but I used to not be. So, you know, you can just Facebook, you can use Zapier, and you can integrate into Podio. And so I have everything drop into Podio, and I think I get a text message or an email or whatever when I get a Facebook lead. So.
You get a text message from Own Carrot that is basically
and Zapier is customizable, so I have Zapier send me an email. Facebook hits the lead, it throws it, you know, it hits a bell, and the bell goes to Zapier, and Zapier imports that into Podio, and I get an email. So I get 2 things at the same time. So I got an email so I can follow up with the lead quickly because I don't have Podio email me. But I have an email that says, hey, you just got a lead from Facebook. you know, call them now before they call somebody else.
Right, right. All right, that's good.
Yeah.
That is good. So, Forrest, we're going to, as soon as you're ready to start offering this your services to other people, we'll have you on here. And, you know, and you can run other people's campaigns for them, because I can tell you, that's a pain having to do your own campaign. I don't want to have to do it myself. I've been paying people thousands and thousands of dollars to run it for me, but I don't want to do it myself. So it's definitely an art. Wouldn't you say so far?
It is an art, and you know, there's things to tweak. There's pain points to push in certain areas. You have to know what to say, and as soon as I figure out how to manage it correctly, I will turn on the spigot and help people, help other people do it as well.
That's awesome. That's really good.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that, Forrest. That's some good info.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, thank you, Larry. Thank you.
So anybody else have a question? So let me ask you guys, tell me what some things are, what are some avenues that you're doing to market to generate leads? Because leads is the lifeblood of the business, right? I mean, yes, you can do HUD, but to get any traction and do enough deals to make a lot of money, you got to spread out, you know, into a wide geographic area. So you could do MLS, but MLS is hot. Everything on the MLS, you know, there's, you know, the whole world can see it. So what are you guys doing to generate off-market leads right now?
Larry, this is Ralph Vaughn from Florida.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. Well, what I'm doing is I hired a virtual assistant because, you know, as you know, I work full time. And so I've got a list from the local county where I live to get absentee owners, people that own property in Florida, but they live in Hawaii, Arizona, whatever. I'm sending letters to them, following up.
Good.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, have your direct mail campaign started hitting yet?
Yes, I'm in the process of doing it now. I use Click to Pay to upload the letters and do that because I got targeted right now, 600 letters going out. So they're just going out as we speak.
You mean Click to Mail?
Click to Mail, I'm sorry, Click to Pay. Well, yeah. I say Click to Pay because I'm paying. But yeah. Click to pay. Click to mail. I'm sorry.
There you go. So Ralph, what other list are you mailing to? I know you got a list source list too, right?
Yeah, I'm looking at motivated sellers, but people that are facing pre-foreclosure and tax deed auctions.
Right.
I'm working a list of training letters to these owners and then following up, go knock on the door and talk to them. So I'm doing that. And I like the Facebook issue. Of course, I'm down in Florida. What's the means to communicate to Facebook? I have a Facebook page. Is there a phone number or a link somehow to get to them? Or what's that initial process?
Forrest, are you still on?
Must have dropped off.
He might have dropped off. Go ahead.
I was just curious, how do you get a hold of Facebook to get started? Is that the means
here's
to
what
do?
You do. Here's what you do. You go to Facebook, right? You log into your Facebook account.
Yeah.
And then on the top right hand side where it says help, you click on that and it has a big drop down, and then you go to Ads Manager.
Okay.
Ads Manager. And then you click on that, and then what you do is you can create your ads from there, but you drive them to your website. Now, Ralph, you still have your own Carrot website, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. So in your own care, let me tell you how Forrest learned how to do this, okay?
Yeah.
There's a course that Own Carrot sells. I've got the course. It's $97. Now, they have an advanced one that's like, if you're a carrot customer, it's like $538 or something. But just start with the $97 course and go through and learn how to do their Facebook ads. That'll give you some really good information. Now, if you pay somebody to do it, if you pay them $5,000, you might get, somewhere between $500 and $1,000 worth of ad spend, and the rest is to pay them to set it up, right?
So I could do it myself as I can, yeah.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah. That's why I've been trying to encourage Forrest to offer it to other people, because I know there's a lot of people that, that need a service like that at a reasonable price. And I know
people
do that. So anyway, I'm encouraging him to do that, and so hopefully I can get him on board with that before long. It'll help him and everybody else too, right?
Yep. Just a note for everybody on. I did a private lending deal. I hope it was a good deal. I got 12%. I got 5 points. Just only for balloon payment. 5 points at 10%. So that was the deal. I just worked for a deal for an investment that I'm working with on a property she has a rehab job.
That's awesome. Now, you borrowed at that?
No, I lent them my money. 12 points, 12% interest, 5 points.
Good for
90-day term.
Good
so that gives you an idea without their money lending for the gentleman that was talking about.
Right. Good. That's good, Ralph. That's good. Now, is there anything else you're doing for marketing besides the direct mail?
I'm doing the direct mail. I drive for dollars. I drive around. Like Saturday, I went out. I found a vacant property that to send a note on. Did some research of the owner and so forth, so I'm doing that. And I got Craigslist, so I'm doing
comedy. How do you find the owner? How do you find the owner?
Well, this one, what I did is I got the address, and I went to the property appraisal, county property appraisal. Just dug in and did some search.
Right, good.
Property record.
You can look up all that stuff. There's an app called LandGlide. LandGlide, and there's another app called Deal Machine. And from Deal Machine, it'll look up their phone number, it'll look up their mailing address, you can even push a button and send them a postcard, right?
Wow, okay, thank you.
That's Deal Machine.
Yeah, because it takes time to research to find the actual homeowner, especially if it's through, an LLC company or whatever. So it isn't an easy task.
That's right. Well, for a busy guy like you that's working a full-time job anyway, you want to try to make it easy as possible. So if I think Deal Machine might even cost $50 a month. But if you're driving for dollars every weekend and you can, pull up to a house, look it up, send them a postcard, click on their number and pick up the phone and call them, then, it's well worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. I think what you passed on the title search was important, because that's probably the most tedious task, is trying to make sure there's no encumbrances and trying to get all the records on that property. That records room is good advice.
Exactly. That's good. I'm glad to hear you got that going. So what are you other guys doing for your marketing to generate leads?
Hey, Larry, it's Forrest. I'm back. I apologize. I had to run in the bank real quick.
So. That's okay. We were just talking about you.
Yeah, I'm sure. It was great. I'm sure everybody got a laugh out of it. Yeah.
Forrest, we were just asking for some advice how you get started with Facebook, and Larry comes in and filled you in. filled your spot.
Yeah, Carrot offers a course, for several hundred dollars, and there's a super smart guy named Kylie that does a course, and he really good at it, and you can take the course and learn how to do it that way. You need a target audience. I mean, that's, you know, plain and simple, you need a target audience. And the whole thing is, Facebook is basically a thing to connect the dots of all your marketing strategies. So, the main power of Facebook is how everybody talks about and what's been in the news lately about how they collect your information. And they collect your information so that, you know, you and I can go out and use that information to target them in ads. And that's what it does. But it uses all your marketing to bring it all back around full circle and market to them through their Facebook feed and Instagram feed.
So if you have a list of names, addresses, Facebook name, that'd be helpful as you get to Facebook. Would that save some time as well?
I'm sorry, you broke up there. Can you repeat that?
No, what I'm saying is if you have a list of names, addresses, even emails and Facebook accounts, does that make the job a little bit easier when you communicate with the Facebook guys for the ads?
But you don't communicate with anybody. You do it all online. But, I mean, okay. Yeah, that's what you do. You need a list, and then you upload that list, and then, you go from there. But, see, the thing is, they don't have to have Facebook. The whole point is to find more than your list.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what Facebook, the similar audience is about. That's what
right.
The similar audience is about, in the sense.
But you
that,
can't. But you can't have 50 people. You can't, you know, run around your neighborhood and ask for names and phone numbers and addresses. Take 50 people and upload it. I mean, we're talking like, you know, a list of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5,000 people. You know, that would get Facebook enough data.
In other words, here's a great example of how to do that. Like, Ralph, you know that list that you pulled from ListSource of all the absentee owners that have owned the property at least 10 years, you know, X age, X amount of equity, all that stuff, that list, or the tax delinquents and all that? You take that list in a spreadsheet and you upload that to Facebook. And Facebook can create a custom audience. They can, for probably about 50 to 60% of those, they can find a Facebook account, right? And then you can market to those same people on Facebook. But Facebook will also analyze all that data from those people's Facebook accounts, and you can create a similar audience of all the people who are similar, have similar likes or similar, you know, in demographics and all that, and psychographics.
Get
so
your phone or listen to this.
You can create a similar audience and market to those people as well, and chances are they may have a house that they need or want to sell as well. Is that a good way to explain it for us?
Get your phone.
Well,
that's a good way. That's a great way to explain it. Yeah.
That's a good note, because that app owner list I got from Lake County had over 4,000 names. So I only scored it out 2 states to get the 500.
Right.
I could use that original list.
I gave you that.
Good. Okay. Thanks, of course. Thanks, Larry.
Does anybody else have a question? I want to make sure you guys get your question back. All right, let's keep it going.
Where can you go to hear a recording of this these phone conversations?
Yeah, you just log into the Inner Circle members area and look for the recordings, and there they'll be. It usually takes about 3 to 5 days for each call to be uploaded. But I am recording this one, so it will be uploaded in the next 3 to 5 days.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question?
What phone number to call for getting account information from your company?
Account information? You mean like for your own,
yes.
With us?
Yes.
You could just call the main number, 803-831-0056.
Thanks much.
You're very welcome. Anybody else have a question? This is good. Anybody else want to share what you're doing for marketing to generate leads? All right, looks like you guys are talked out. Anybody else got anything you want to go over, you need help with, you have a question about or anything?
Hey, Larry, I have a general question. So I've been noticing a lot, we're pretty engaged with a lot of investors in the area. You know, when it first started a couple months ago, nobody really talked about it, but now a lot of people are starting to talk about, how the days on market are starting to increase. And have you noticed that? Is it affecting anything with the wholesale business? I don't see it affecting anything personally right now, but I do see that, there's a lot of quote-unquote new pricing on homes and a lot of, just reduced and stuff like that. And I think that it's going to start changing, in my opinion. I think it's going to start, trickling down to the rehabbers here before too long, because they're going to start adding more interest into their pricing and their what they can afford to pay for housing. Have you seen that affecting you, or is that nothing that affects you right now?
Well, you know what? I have not seen that, only because a lot of my houses that I'm wholesaling are lower priced houses. Not a lot of them are even fix and flip houses. And I'm selling to landlords and people who are, just want to pay cash and get a good deal and get a house quick and put in some sweat equity. So I haven't really seen that. Plus, most of my deals are scattered out over the Carolinas. So I have not really seen that yet. Is that what you're seeing in Richmond?
Yeah, but I think what you said was right on point about the lower priced homes that are, more stable. I think what we've noticed is a lot of people got, that shiny object syndrome, and, they're flipping $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 houses. And, now that it's sitting, everybody's starting to, start worrying about their interest payment. So, but I think you hit the nail on the head. The ones that cash flow, even with a mortgage, are still going to be solid, especially as this market starts to level itself a little bit or right itself a little bit. People are going to want to start finding more stable things and not flipping. They're going to want to start buying and holding a little bit more. I think that's what I think.
Well, I do agree with that as well. There's still going to be a lot of fix and flippers out there that's all they really know what to do or how to do. But one thing's for sure, based on my experience, whenever the market starts to turn, the first market that starts to slow is the higher end market, right? That's really relative depending on where you live. The higher price market could be $1 million house in Orange County, California, but it could be a $200,000 or $300,000 house in some other area, right? But the higher price stuff, they start to get more days on the market, and then they start to get a few price reductions, and then it starts to trickle down to the median price homes. But one thing's for sure, the lower price houses, they're pretty much fixed. They don't change a whole lot, right? I mean, a $30,000, $40,000 house is always going to be a $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 house.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Thank you.
Yep. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Anybody else have a question? Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this call. We got a lot out of it. Thanks, Forrest, for sharing, and thanks, Ralph, for sharing as well. I appreciate it. You guys all know you can reach out to me anytime in between these calls. Shoot me an email to larry@larrygoins.com. And if you don't have some steady, consistent marketing going, right, if you don't have some steady, consistent marketing going to make the phone ring, then please call me, email me, whatever you need to do, and let me help you get some marketing going so you can start getting some deals, because now's a great time to be doing deals. And but you got to make the phone ring. That's very, very important. Yes, you need to be doing HUD. You need to be doing some MLS, depending on where you live or where you're buying. But you also need to make the phone ring. So if you're not doing that on a consistent basis, let me know, and I will be glad to get on the phone with you or send you some resources to help get you started. So with that, thanks, guys. I really appreciate your business. Appreciate you being on today. And, you know, like the gentleman said earlier, you can go in and listen to all these replays. So if you miss one, be sure and go back and listen to them. Make sure you get on the ASAP calls, too. They are on the other, like, it'll be next Monday at noon, and that's with Darren Vinay, who is really, really good at keeping people motivated and on track. So make sure you listen to those. He's a good friend of mine. He's spoken at some of my events. He's just a great, all-around great guy. So make sure that you check those calls out as well, and let me know if you guys need anything. And with that, I'm going to go have some lunch. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you being on.
Enjoy.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
See ya.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you.
I was in the military for 18 years, but I smoked, and I got heart disease. At the advance, it's hard to serve your country. You can't quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Your chronic concern is in restlessness. It's gas. Gas actually relieves pressure, bloating, and discomfort fast, so we can all sleep these two tonight.
Nothing beats the comforts of home. Introducing new Scott Comfort Plus. It's three times stronger for unbeatable comfort. It's not Scott Comfort Plus family. Keep life rolling.
Yeah, they're going to come at you. point you in. I'm not a doctor, but all I can tell you is Marlena said in her professional opinion, stable and genuinely remorseful.
She brought our son to the mix and started to play dirty. She doesn't give a damn about her best. I appreciate you coming here and trying to a little way past that point. Hear me out. Everything I can do. Go to St. Luke's, go light a candle, and pray to God that I'm the one who wins. Are you sure? Yeah. I'm sure. Okay, we are exhausted.
How can you hit a man like that? How can you sit in there and chat with a man and you know that he's the one that killed your
heart? I didn't say that.
I thought it was that thing in
Brady. I didn't do it.
You said?
I said that I found the ambulance in his room. I didn't make a chat. How he used the breath.
Okay. Well, why don't you tell me the rest right now?
Nicole is the one who killed Bingo. What do you mean? What happened when I was a tiny? Well, Leo's case goes to trial tomorrow. They tell me because the information that I gave you is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but he didn't want to talk to me about it at all. Well, that's just because he said he wanted to show the adjustment first.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Well, it's not like we can try it out, right? Right. Did you get a chance to, see what I'm talking about with parents you had? Kind of saying he loves you, or you saying you loved him too? Yes, I did. How did you act? Well, I was completely honest with them. I made it clear that they're memories, and they don't affect the present. Why, I hate it. You're happy because it seemed like Tierra was working, but he also understood that it doesn't change how I feel about you. He knows that you and I are in love, and that's the way things are going to stay. The most important thing to remember is you've done nothing wrong. Okay? Stay calm. Answer truthfully. Be fine. If you act defensive or get angry, it'll look like a new kind of case. Yeah, okay. And if you see Leo in the courtroom, just meet his gaze. Okay, don't stare. You don't have to worry about it, okay?
Well, I am worried,
okay? Because Leo's lawyer is going to try and get to you. I'll be him. Mr. Kiriakis, are you with a partner now? No? Oh, well, then you must have been very excited when you learned that your new assistant turned out to be the handsome gay man you were seeing. Sonny. What? You have to focus. Your career, your entire reputation is at stake here. Sonny, we have to win this lawsuit. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I do, okay.
Got involved with this phony in the first place.
Okay.
That's not a crime. Okay, you just have to let that go. You just have to listen to what I'm telling you, all right? Okay, but there's something I'm not telling you. It's about Leo.
No.
Oh,
without take our phones to call. Only so they have friends and bones by stopping her with a damage and the money ready to come.
Oh, man. She always had a way of getting under his skin.
Yeah, believe me, I know.
but she always leaves down. I mean, I think last time, I think Eric got that beat together forever. She goes back home and break up with Betty for whatever reason. Next time he saw her, she's a different person. Turned on her dad, left town.
Yeah. I saw her the day she left. She asked me if I would make sure that Eric was all right. She was absolutely miserable.
Maybe. But it seemed pretty clear that she decided that whatever she and her kid wouldn't be able to last. But things worked out for the best. He is with the right woman now.
I am glad to think so.
Hey, listen, you guys hungry? A lot of food left over from the barbecue.
Now that you missed it, I am willing.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Hey.
Hi.
Are you
really hungry? No. I couldn't get there proper well. My dad's dead.
Hey.
I broke into Eric's room. And I was looking for proof that he and Nicole were having an affair. I found the amulet, so I assumed that Eric was the one that took the animals. But when I took it to Nicole and told her, she told me that she was the one.
Oh, that's why she left him? She was running from the murderer?
Sorry.
When you moved to the grave?
You remember when I told you that I was the reason that she left him? That was the reason that she broke up with Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I told her that if she didn't do those things, I was going to go to the
house.
Yeah, I'm not, not proud of it. I just I got that in the water. Never happened together. The time I could not envision them. I wanted them to be miserable. So I managed to get a recording of Nicole confessing murder. And I told her, I said, if I ever find out that you and Eric are back together, I'll use it against you and take you down.
Eric doesn't know why she left him.
No, yeah. I had her convince him that she never loved him. That she never cared about him. She wanted to make some new start or something.
He has no idea that she wants to murder him.
The only ones that know are me, you, Victor.
That is going to change if possible.
What are you
doing? No, I mean,
what are you talking about?
Everybody knows exactly what the place is.
Sonny, I'm your lawyer. Anything you say to me is privileged. More importantly, I'm your fellow man. Maybe you're struggling with something I want to know. What is it?
Honey, I'll keep you right about my finger being a mistake.
I messed up. I tightened it. The stock price is going down.
Don't worry, but
I know
where
it's going to be. I'm super just. I had to do something to make it right. And what did you do? I met up with Leo. Recently. Oh, I know I should have seen him.
Well, you definitely shouldn't have seen him.
I know, I did. Okay, guys, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Okay, just tell me what happened between you two.
Sorry, I can't make it. Just my eggs are lying in, but it's fine. Yeah, I'm kidding.
You okay?
Eggs are lying. It's fine. Hey, hi. Is this your house? Excellent again. It's fine. I saw something the other day. My excellentfriends.com. Your excellent could do something called atopic dermatitis, which is out of inflammation of hunger. You need to talk to your doctor. Go to myexcellentexposed.com to learn more. New nor one skillet meal. Discover organic ancient grains like barley or quinoa. Just add protein and vegetables to create delicious new flavors. New Nora One Skillet Meals. Don't just eat, discover.
Every day, do really bring you something special.
I'm just trying that, but.
Oh, Fatty, there are many wolves around here.
Really? Fire up the grill.
Look, something special every day. If your pet has fleas, you have fleas. Help protect your pet, home, and yard. Of the infected fleas with the advanced reactive plan.
Whatever this is, it has serious consequences.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
We would fire the pepper.
Okay.
We're gonna run a little mine across it.
All right, great.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you.
I wish you hadn't done that, but I certainly understand your frustration.
I'm a bitch, you know.
Hello? Hello?